I started out without the headset on, not being very obedient. Just finished a session at the temple, endowment, and doing a recording. Helps me stay awake, which is really important. Although I have to rush quite a bit to get back to some sleep, so I can wake up at a decent hour so that I can do another exciting day of work. Woo-hoo! You know, work isn't that bad yet. But, ow, oh, I wouldn't mind being shy, but I was just reading an article. Oh, not long, just a little bit ago, about cash flow versus investment. And I have been thinking of my writing lately. Of course, I can do very little of it with all the time that's taken up driving and things like that. I don't know how much recordings count toward this kind of a thing. Can monetize it somehow. There's something to be said for that. However, we'll have to give that a certain amount of thought. I prefer writing because I really am scatterbrained. A situation brought starkly to mind today. I had to retrace a lot of steps, trying to make sure I had applied the right work to the right server and having to fix some because I had done it wrong. And, so I think my recordings go along these lines of being rather scatterbrained. For all I know, my writing does too. So I know the most enduring books are fiction, yet have a deeper purpose about them. Here we go. I often miss my turn to Littlefield, but I think I will not today. I know I could apply my intellect to subject matter that will sell, but won't destroy my soul. We've been reading the Lord of the Rings, and we're getting to the end. Now, I've read a few, I call them reviews, but the fact that Tolkien would write this worked. I don't know if universal themes is the right thing to say, but worked elements of inspiring things. They hearken to Jordan Peterson, who is really a fine antidote to the feminization of men in our times. And the those not caught in feminization, many of the rest are engaged in what I guess I would call tomfoolery. Games, distractions. The thing I was listening to, sorry, today it put up a presentation about the work ethic, and that it might very well have been something of a mistake, although having a labor to do, he was crying calling. And he gave examples like, who was it, Oprah Winfrey, who said, you know, a job is something you do from 8 to 5. A calling, you throw so much of yourself into it. But it was still about working even harder, spending the bulk of your time on some pursuit, usually making money is not our problem. Most of people decry the fact they don't get paid very much. Well, to be honest, we do the 8-hour day, usually filled with tons of just busy work. But in the past, employers were hard-pressed to get you to work more than 2 or 3 hours a week. That people would only work as an employment until they got the money that they needed, and then they would stop. I think the great breakthrough toward the grind was monetizing everything. You constantly have to work because there's a constant flow of bills to pay, obligations to be met. There's a constant flow of them. That was the real miracle of getting people to work pretty constantly. In the old days, there might be a few occasional annual payments you would have to make toward rent to a lord or some debt that you'd have to make a payment on. But then once those were done, your need to work for someone else, and that is the essence of the situation, is employment. It was done. Did you work for yourself? Had you, worked for yourself only in as much as you desired to do it? It's amazing to see the, tremendous works of art, much of which we call folk art now, but how much time and effort went into these things. You go, wait a minute, I thought all these people worked like slaves, day in and day out, just to survive. And most days had that aspect to it. There's always work to be done. But it seemed like there was, I don't know if it was copious amounts of time, but there was certainly amounts of time where people could engage in artistic pursuits. Perhaps study a martial art, develop some really involved what's dishes, much more than the vast majority of people today have any, take any time to do. I know when I come home from work, I'm dragging. Of course, I have to commute over an hour to, and then over an hour back home. About 2.5 to 3 hours is eaten up with me driving. That's why I make recordings, because it's not the only thing I can do when I'm driving. That's like, boy, 2 or 3 hours spent on something else. What wonderful talent could I master in that time? Anyway, what an interesting way of looking at things. Oh, sorry, I've been eating too, so that's why this is so choppy. So yeah, the combination of cash flow, well, can I tell you, it's not a justification for doing what I do, just a lot of money to it. I guess that justifies it the most, especially for my wonderful wife. It's interesting that these two things fall in line. It's just this, I guess this fellow had started out as a lawyer. He was a corporate lawyer, so he was working the grind. And the expectation is not just 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. 48 weeks a year, but far more than that, you know. You are given a salary, and that salary produces the kind of well, you know, you're expected to work maybe 100 hours a week instead of 40. And if you choose not to, well, you know, you're never going to get ahead. You'll never make a partner or some other way of, you know, some higher level. I don't know what making that partner is supposed to do, more prestige. I don't know if that's supposed to be this huge investment making you amazing, and then when you're amazing, maybe you don't have to work so hard. I think some people get that idea, but then it's like, oh no, you're expected to work much harder, and you're not even going to be a lawyer anymore. You're going to be, your biggest job is to go out and schmooze, drum up business. You know, like some kind of salesman. When you go, I thought I went to school, learned the law, and you go, well, yeah, maybe. When you started, it says, but, you know, your clerk does that lawyering business. Your place is to do something different, to wine and dine the rich and famous, so that you might be their lawyer when they basically get sued for being rich and famous. You are there to protect their riches and fame. You end up being some kind of weird, I don't know how to describe it, nanny. I don't know. Advising them always against activities or things. And it's like, oh, whatever. But it's probably what you didn't go into being a lawyer for in the first place. Is become that kind of a person. Or whatever, you know. And it's like, wow. If you start talking about calling and about, oh, this is my calling, and you very quickly find out that what you thought was your calling is just gone. And this guy, okay, this guy was a corporate lawyer, and then he decided that he was going to go out on his own, just be an independent lawyer, take up the cases he wanted to do, his own hours. And he was the guy talking about, you know, about the, quote, the work ethic. And he pretty much attributed that to Martin Luther and Protestantism. That the highest virtue that you could do is labor, employment, stuff like that. Employment came later. Was the thing about working hard? And can I be honest? I said I don't remember this being a particular function for Jesus, except for maybe one or two vague scriptures. I'll have to look that up again. There's something about wearing the clothes of the laborer, and it's like, is that even a good thing to do? So I recall Jesus was more a spiritual teacher than anything else. And that he had probably I don't even know if he applied himself to it particularly. Such pondering stories. His parables. For all we know, those came off the top of his head. or by inspiration. But he was not considered a learned man, particularly. I think most of the biggest problems he had came from the fact that he was often popular. I don't know if it was a growing group of people that would follow him around. He would go and he would teach some people, and they would say, oh, this is kind of cool. But it almost seemed like he was trying to get a following. You know, he certainly wasn't saying the things people wanted to hear, which is often how you get a following. You know, he would often say things that were cantankerous, problematic, tricky. And sometimes it's like, do you use Jesus as an economic example? And we go, guy, I don't know. Probably not. We have no record of him working for other people. We have no record of him particularly laboring. People think that because Joseph, his stepfather, for lack of a better term for it, foster father, was a carpenter, that Jesus was going to be a carpenter too. And I don't know if there's any real evidence behind that, except that, oh, well, a lot of the children of people picked up their trade going forward. You know, maybe. You know, but there's a pretty reasonable... the record certainly doesn't speak of anything like that. He wandered around. He was a teacher. I don't know how they kept themselves fed, honestly. It seems like somebody carried the purse, Judas, and I guess he was in charge of the money. But when it came tax time, there was no money to pay it. So Christ had to produce a fish with a gold piece in its mouth. And you go, wow, that's a miracle. And you go, yeah, this is, can you live like that? Pay your taxes that way? I haven't figured out how. So, I hear different things from different people, and and people say, oh, no, that's bad. And you go, I don't know if that's bad or not. No successful writers that basically lived off of their writing of the past. I think about some of the writers today. Who's the one that I think of? Nora Roberts, who does a lot of, I guess they're kind of romance. They're not quite bodice busters, but it's a constant stream of material. Of course, that kind of becomes the, I got to constantly be writing, because my book is going to last for about, 6 months. There's not going to be a lot of, It's not like in 5 years people come back and go, oh, look, discover her books. I might have. So, I don't know how I would do as a recreational writer. Just writing and writing and writing and writing and writing all the dang time. Doing a formula. That's how a lot of very prolific writers do it. They just have a formula. And they constantly keep running and working that formula over and over and over again. You go, that seems like an awful lot of work. For something that should be able to make you money into the future. People always want something new. I don't know. But say, for instance, Tolkien, now I don't know if it sells as well as it did once upon a time. But it still sells. I just went out and bought my copy of Tolkien, which is a little bit nicer. It isn't quite a hardbound, but it's kind of a portable version of it. And not a paperback, but a soft cover, I would suppose. And the whole set cost you about $70. It's like, well, it's still doing okay. People still buy it. It's got great value. And it's like, you kind of want to do that. You don't want it just to be like, well, a big literary society decides that it's so important and so good that it should be on the required reading list. I don't know if Harry Potter continues to be on that list. Maybe one of those things. But most modern books have a little bit of life. And then if they make a movie about it, it may have a little, like, second life. But usually, not very much. Although publishers will try to take their old thing and try to rehash it, make it into something else, and hope it sells. I think Tolkien has been a consistent seller. As new generations rise, they pick up that book and they do it. Now, let me tell you, Tolkien worked hard on that booger. Although, can I be honest, he got it done in, what, 3 or 4 years? He was a college professor. And when his books did well enough, he didn't have to be a professor anymore. He retired. I think he retired before, you know, when people say, well, he probably worked up until he was 70. And you go, I don't know. I don't think so. Of course, you have to understand, our world doesn't tolerate that. Our world needs a constant stream of money from you, which basically means that you've got to be employed by somebody who pays you on a regular basis because of the regular amount of money that comes in. Taxes have gone way up. You have to pay for water and electricity and 1,000 other things. And these things aren't cheap. It used to be that if you could find part-time job tending toward full-time, that not only could you afford a place to stay, put food on the table. It may not be the best food, but, you know, decent food. And you could get married. Something about getting married incites you to go and try to do better, make better money. And things would work out. And people are really right today. To be honest, these things are a little bit are tenuous. A lot of people have lost heart, have lost faith that their labors can be translated to the things that they need. There is a lot of, I can labor quite a bit. Of course, most of them, they just eschewed laboring at all and said, you know, I don't see how it's going to work, therefore, I'm not going to put forth that kind of effort. I don't really know what to tell those guys. Simply go out and figure it out. I was a guy that would have preferred being a writer. I don't think I had the gumption or the drive particularly. Certainly not to be the modern version of a writer, which is write. I've got a blog, but I don't write a lot on it, you know. Maybe something comes up every week or two. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. A lot of people that I respect are syndicated columnists, which means they have to come up with something to say. Usually every week or every couple of weeks, they have to come up with enough to say to write a little article on it that gets published in a lot of newspapers. Now that's dead and dying. Honestly, you don't see a lot of that anymore. I think of people like Dennis Prager, for instance, who does a radio show. Now, there's prep to be done for radio shows sometimes, but honestly, he does do current events. He does, but he does try to be your source of news, for instance. It's just not what he does. Anyway, and he's got a daily radio program. I don't know, for all I know, it's weekly. I have no idea. I don't think it makes him a ton of money. He does that. He's a syndicated columnist. A lot of these people end up doing two or three things, you know. If they're a radio personality, they might try a little TV. And, of course, they'll have stuff in print. It's mostly about their brand, being Brand Prager. And of course, now one of his buddies had kind of said, hey, can I use your name to do this thing? And he says, sure. And he says, do you want to participate? He goes, yeah, a little. And he does it right now. Now, the problem is Dennis Prager right now, I think, is ill. Nobody will talk about how ill he is. I don't know if that's a business move. And that they're saying, you know what, there's every chance if Dennis Prager dies, all the stuff that went with him is going to die too. It's not like somebody else can take over his radio program. It's him, you know. Nobody's going to write his column anymore. They'll just get another columnist. That's going to have to fill the role he did. Anyway, what would you like to do? I ended up just selling my time for money. And although my time, I get paid more and more for my time, I don't think much of it, personally. I'm not defrauding the people that do invest in all this stuff. It's not interesting to me. You listen to my recordings, you know that, I don't know if I'd really call it what I do philosophical, but I think about things, and sometimes I write about them. I usually will talk about them first to kind of mull them over, and then it becomes something that becomes something akin to an essay. But you have to understand, the whole thing about essays is that they just come and then they vanish away. This is, unless you're willing to do that essay all the time, and to be honest, to do it because you're, you know, it's kind of a brand thing. If you're a nobody, it's worthless. Except for yourself and maybe your family. If you think you're going to be able to turn it into some kind of a income stream, you've lost your rocker. If nothing else happens, in a little over 4 years, Lisa will let me stop what I'm doing and live off the proceeds of whatever we've been able to come together. Got a bit of a pension. I'll have Social Security. And I'll... which is socialism. For all the times when you say, I don't know why I think about socialism, it's like, well, you've got it. What are you going to do about it? Anyway. And then I've got a few investments with, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in them, which is nothing. You know, all of them put together probably would get me 30, 40 bucks a month, and that's on a good day. So if all else fails, that's what will happen there. Says, am I going to be going on a mission? Probably not, because I really can't afford to do that. You know, Lisa and I made a choice a long time ago that she wouldn't work outside the home. So she, her Social Security is about what, three, oh, I'm not going to say, but it's less than 500 a month. Unless something else happens. Unless all of a sudden one of my books just explodes and they go, oh my gosh. Nemo's this amazing writer, you know. I don't think it really has to do with amazing. I don't think people say that J.R.R. Tolkien is like, oh, yes, his prose are just amazing. It's like, no, he just tells a story. The story he came up with, did he do a good job of writing? I said, yeah. Yeah, he did an okay job. You know, he's kind of into poetry a little bit. songs but yeah, it's almost about, oh, what's a good way to say it? Almost has more to do with, it has more to do with the subject material and how it affects a person's heart, psyche, whatever. It really speaks to boys, men, young men. I remember I first took up Tolkien when I was kind of a middle school, high school guy. And, back in my junior high school. So yeah, junior, senior high school person. And it was kind of inspirational to me on some level. You know, I would like to be known for heroic deeds, although, you know, there's not much heroic needing to be done. One of the horrible parts about socialism is it takes away the need to be like this. Sports doesn't cut it. Although everybody says, oh yeah, that's, we will lionize you for your sports prowess. And you go, maybe. It certainly won't last past college for most people. There's only a handful of people that are really going to be like, oh, he's just such a hero, you know. He was a great Olympian or something. And you go, Olympians come and go really quickly. And even if they were very famous for a year or two afterwards, if they can't keep up making those performances and keep being amazingly competitive long for quite a while, this is they fade out just like everybody else does. So is somebody like Tolkien just a bolt of lightning out of the blue? Of course, one of his best friends, C.S. Lewis, was also the same kind of person. He wrote books that have stood the test of time, still widely read, even more than Tolkien did. And it's like, how did two guys who met each other in college, how did both of them strike? How did lightning strike both of them? And you go, don't know. What's the place I went to school? Just trust me, there's been thousands of people that have tried to duplicate the Tolkien Lewis formula. And I'm sorry, has it made anything happen? Not really. Not really. So I pray sometimes, I pray to God and say, Father, is there, what should I be doing? And besides my writing for my blog, which is barely read by anybody, I don't get a lot. Every once in a while, I get this weird impression because somebody will talk about something in general conference, and it's like, that's what I said, that's what I thought, that's what I was writing. It's like, did they steal my stuff? Did they say that? Say, well, I'm gonna do it and make it my own. I don't know. For all I know, someday somebody will come and they go, oh man, your blog is is read by a group of church authorities, and you go, well, there you go. Inspiration, or this is much far more likely, is that I'm being touched by the Spirit, and they're being touched by the Spirit, and the fact that it sounds very similar can be attributed to the fact that it came from the same Spirit. I don't know. So anyway, interesting articles. I don't know what I think about either one of them. I really don't. I think the guy the written one that I read was all about investing in a business. Not as a stockholder, because that's just too low grade. Return you get maybe 1 or 2%, which is like, well, yeah, in 60 or 70 years, if it keeps going well, you'll have some money. You go, oh, well, there it is. My patriarchal blessing tells me that I will have health and strength and means to participate in the Lord's work. I always thought means meant money or resources, something. And I don't know if I'm doing badly. I don't think I've done that yet, because it says a couple of other things, that these things will come to you, and I'll have inspiration to choose my life's work, and said, you know, I've just kind of followed the money. Can I be honest? That's all I've done. I'm not saying other people should do it. I don't know if I should have done it. I'm not going to be surprised if I get to heaven. Heavenly Father looks at me with some disappointment and said, you really could have been something, but you weren't. It's like, yeah, thank you. You go, so I guess you're not offering me exaltation. Or maybe you will, because your hands are kind of tied. You know, I'd hate to go to heaven under circumstances of, well, I didn't think much of it, but I didn't have any justification for saying no. And you go, wow, I am just inspired. Anyway, so it said that these things would come to me, and it's like, oh. And then it's like, but you know, it says that I'm not trying to say that I'm ungrateful. It's just not very interesting to me, can I be honest? And it says that through this I will be comfortable. I didn't say happy. I'm going to get happy and content. And it's like, I must not understand what those things mean, because I don't feel terribly happy and I'm not very content. And, you know, you always hear people, well, you know, you really have to make your own happiness and you just have to be content with whatever you get. And you're going, I hope that's not what that means. Otherwise, they could have just not said anything. You know? Except they work very hard, because why not? I don't really know what to say. And I don't want to be a downer about it, particularly. And I don't know about this calling stuff. I know there's something we're supposed to do down here on Earth, but I think the vast majority of it is introduce people to the gospel. Now, the more famous you become, the more you speaking about the gospel is worthwhile. It's like saying, boy, you should go over and see Donny Osmond's website, Facebook, or whatever he does for social media. You know, it talks about the church and how much of a wonderful influence it was in his life and how much he tries to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And that when he says it, because of the things he did when he was a little kid later on and just everything that he's done, that he's a good person for that. But that's not me. Oh. So yeah. I'm not sure what's coming, I'm not sure what to do. I guess I've almost gotten to the point of being a little indifferent to the whole thing, you know. I'd rather not have to go drag into work every day, drive an hour, some odd, to go to work in a place that's really, I find uninspiring. I'd rather have somebody else do it. Although the pay is good, which is really its only justification for me to continue to do it, is how much I'm being paid. Which I'm kind of embarrassed. But I think it makes my wife happy. Or at least it makes my wife less fearful of the future. I don't know. Regardless, I imagine I will continue to do what I'm doing, which is to get some sort of inspiration, I hope, from the Lord and translate that into little bits on my blog that, you know, small groups of people, a sprinkling of people ever get interested in reading. But maybe something I write there touches hearts here and there, and in doing that, that's a good thing. Maybe that's what Heavenly Father really wants me to do. So I'll continue to do it. I don't think I have regular readers particularly. I think it's algorithms that pick me up. And somebody said, hey, you know, I want to know about this or about this, vaguely with the millions and millions and millions of people out there, chances are, you know, a handful of us collide. I'm trying to remember which country I'm most read in a particular time. I think it's someplace in Southeast Asia. So I imagine that it's just a bot that goes through everything to index it. My stuff might make it into large language models so that your AI may kick out something that sounds like me. Well, so, boy, am I just an excited person. But usually I'm not, right? But, you know, I am easily downtrodden and depressed. I'm a little man from a little family, and that's all there is to it. That's fine. The vast majority of people are exactly like me, and hopefully are better able to cope with it than I am. Ta-da! So, that's all there is to be said. This thing has taken 55 minutes of a 2-hour journey, so I am going to go ahead and stop it here and save this recording. So ultimately make it to public consumption that nobody, as far as I'm aware of, consumes. Talk to you later. Bye. Can I do it? Nope. Good night.